days when most people are interested in adding a dog to the family, they head to the internet for information. The options seem fairly clear. Some look for shelters, some look for breeders, some look for specific rescue organizations. But as a recent article in the Washington Post points out, there are some shelters engaging in a murky practice, buying dogs from auctions and supporting certain breeders whose practices the animal welfare community publicly denounces. Journalist Kim Cavan wrote a piece in the Post. She is the author of the 2016 book, The Dog Merchants, Inside the Big Business of Breeders, Pet Stores, and Rescuers. And her latest story appears in the Washington Post. It's called Dogfight. Kim, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me on.
I want to define our terms so everybody is starting from the same place as we have this conversation. I'm going to go through four terms, and I want you to tell me what they are exactly. What is a shelter exactly?
Usually considered a physical brick-and-mortar building where homeless animals, animals in need, are taken and offered for adoption.
Now, are they monitored by anyone? Is there anybody to whom they have to meet certain standards?
The regulations depend on which state you're in, so there's numerous ways to answer that question.
Okay, so it's state-by-state regulated. How about rescuers?
Rescuers can be defined in a number of ways. You know, we've seen an explosion since about 2005 in this country of rescue groups operating out of people's homes, networks of foster homes, that type of thing. Some of them are registered as 501c3 nonprofit organizations. Others are, you know, they put up a website and they simply call themselves a rescue. So they come in different flavors as well.
So do they have, is the regulation state by state as well? Or is there regulation, I should ask?
That's one of the things that our article touches on is, again, it's murky.
Okay, we'll get there. Breeder.
Somebody who produces puppies for sale to the public.
Okay, and puppy mills.
That is a term that some activists use to describe every commercial breeding kennel in the United States.
Okay, great. I just wanted to make sure everyone understood what our terms were. Let's start from the beginning. When did rescuers start buying dogs from commercial breeders?
Well, what our story focuses on is the buying that's going on inside the dog auctions. So I can't speak to what's happening with every single commercial breeder across the country.
Sure,
but
of course.
The dog auctions themselves, the oldest operating one in the United States today is about 30 years old. It opened in 1988. And what the auction owner told us is that almost since day one, the rescuers have been inside. What our reporting showed, though, is that in the past 3 to 5 years, some kind of a change has happened. It used to be that the rescuers would go to these auctions because it was the only way they felt they could get access to dogs that they wanted to get out of the commercial breeding industry, that they felt needed to get out. They could get them for $5, $10.
Wow.
Sometimes they could clear a whole table of dogs off the auction table for a dollar or two because nobody else wanted the dogs. What we're writing about is a change that has taken place in the past 3 to 5 years, where now we are seeing rescuers coming into these auctions with a lot of money and spending thousands of dollars per dog in some case. What our reporting showed is $2.68 million that bidders tied to nonprofit rescues, shelters, and dog advocacy groups across the country have spent buying close to 6,000 dogs and puppies at these auctions.
Wow, those numbers are staggering. I want to dig deep a little bit on what you said. You said the change has happened in the past 3 to 5 years. What was the catalyst for the change?
Great question. And our reporting showed a number of people saying a number of things.
Okay.
One of those things is the internet. Between social media, sites like Facebook, websites like GoFundMe and YouCaring and PoundWishes.com, rescuers who put out a fundraising call and say, please donate here. They usually call it Puppy Mill Rescue or some variation on that. People will click to donate, and they'll sometimes donate in very large amounts. We reported on a couple of, there was two fundraising campaigns like that for a single 2014 auction. The rescuers raised close to $350,000 to go spend at the auctions with just two of those fundraising campaigns. So part of it is rescuers coming in with a lot of money into these auctions. One of the auction owners told us that the rescuers now come in with more money than the breeders are coming in with. So that's one thing going on. Another thing going on, the owner of America's biggest legal dog auction told us, is that there's not as many dogs around as there used to be. There's been a lot of laws enacted, a lot of action taken to try to shut down commercial breeding facilities, which means there's fewer puppies being produced. You know, what he talks about is he used to be doing 70 auctions a year, and there were just so many dogs around, some of them would go for $5, $10, $25. Now he's doing about 18 auctions a year. And when you have lower supply and higher demand, you're going to get higher prices. So you've got the higher demand, and you've got the rescuers coming in with a ton of money that they're getting off the internet. And what you're seeing as a result is rescuers paying some prices that we listed some of them in a graphic. You know, readers mm-hmm. can see in the story there was rescuers who paid $10,000 for a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, $8,750 for a French Bulldog, $4,300 for a Yorkshire Terrier, right on down the line. These were numbers that nobody ever saw rescuers paying at auctions until recently.
I'm Allison Stewart, and I'm speaking with Kim Cavan, the author of The Dog Merchants, Inside the Big Business of Breeders, Pet Stores, and Rescuers. Her latest story in the Washington Post is called Dogfight. If you have a question for Kim or you want to know more about this subject, she's a terrific resource. So our phone number is 212-433-9692. Again, that's 212-433-9692. I just want to pick up on something you mentioned. You said quickly as you went by, you called it a legal dog auction. I'm assuming that's because there are illegal dog auctions, right?
Well, the story that we wrote focuses on the two remaining auctions that are regulated and overseen by the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Okay.
And we have a sidebar on the Post's website where the auctioneers run through not only the federal compliance issues and things that they deal with, but also at the state level. They're both located in Missouri. But just because they're located in Missouri, I don't want your listeners in New York to think that this doesn't affect them.
Mm-hmm.
The rescue groups we tied to the business of the auctions extend all across the country. We do quote, we have information from one rescuer based in New York City who goes to the auctions and has bought dogs. So what we're reporting on is this place that's in Missouri, but the results of what's happening is affecting people who want to adopt dogs all across America.
Right, and people do listen to us on WNYC.org all across the country, so we don't have to worry about just being focused on New York. Now, one of the auctions, the big players you talked about was Southwest Auction Service, correct?
Yeah, Southwest is the oldest and biggest operating dog auction that is USDA regulated in the United States. It opened in 1988, and what these auctions were founded as is a place where breeders would come together to trade dogs, to trade stock. Let's say one breeder wanted to get out of the beagle business, another one wanted to get into the Labrador Retriever business. They would bring all the available dogs together in one place so all the breeders could see all the dogs that were available for sale. And Southwest has been at it longer than anybody. According to the owner of Southwest, about 85% of the dogs that get auctioned in America get auctioned inside of his building.
Wow. So is it a well-advertised thing, a dog auction?
It is within the breeding community mm-hmm. and among the rescuers who do this. Flyers go out before the auctions are held. Catalogs are put online just as if you were going to an art auction. Each dog is given a lot number, dog number 1, 2, 3. They're often listed in the program in alphabetical order, so you'd have maybe Akitas, Boston Terriers, Chihuahuas right on down the line. And the owner of America's biggest dog auction told us that he spends, I believe he said, about $6,000 in advertising ahead of every
wow.
sale.
Wow. Now, some pet breeders are calling these animal shelters who go to these auctions retail rescuers. What does that mean?
Well, I think that the term retail rescue is the breeding community's answer to the term puppy mill that the activists throw at the breeders.
Mm-hmm.
It's a term where the breeders are suggesting that people operating as rescues, positioning themselves as rescues, telling the public that they're rescues, are really engaging in the pet trade, and in some cases operating as online pet stores just without the regulation that pet stores that are not in the nonprofit arena are required to follow. The term retail rescue is what that side of the industry came up with to try to characterize those that they see as problematic from their point of view.
As someone who's written about this and reported on this, what do you think about the term?
I think that all of this is very controversial.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, even on the comments section of our story, we're getting people saying, why are you calling these people breeders? Call them puppy mills. Why are you calling these people rescuers? They're dog flippers. This kind of language, it's a controversial thing. And what we tried to do was stay as far away from that as we could and just shine a light on what's actually going on. Our reporting showed most people have no idea dog auctions even exist, let alone that breeders and rescuers are doing in business inside of them. So what we were trying to do was not get too hemmed and focused on, you know, people calling each other names. We wanted to look at what was going on with the money and talk about the controversial business practice of rescuers buying dogs from breeders.
We do have a caller. I believe his name is George from Tuckahoe. Hi, George.
Yeah, how you doing? Good afternoon. I just want to know that the dogs that are rescued, you know, at the auction, what happens to the dogs, and also that the rescuers, when they're bidding for these dogs, how do the prices get so high? I mean, they're bidding against who, or do the auctioneers have plants who tend to drive up the prices? I don't know.
Kim, what can you tell George?
Well, to answer your first question, George, what happens to the dogs after the rescuers purchase them is the rescuers say that they place them into homes. Some of them get spayed and neutered before they go out. Sometimes they don't, from what our reporting showed, but the rescuers are telling us they put them into homes. Then in terms of why are the prices going so high, our story does touch on that a lot. What seems to be going on in the auctions, you know, even according to the owner of the biggest dog auction, he says the rescuers, along with the breeders, are all driving up the prices at the same time. All bidders help. He had an auction this past February, was the biggest dog auction he'd ever had in his auction's history. It was more than $600,000 changed hands. And a breeder purchased a dog for $18,000 at that auction, and a rescuer purchased a dog for $8,750. And what you have is these rescuers and breeders are, they're trying to get the dogs away from each other. So as the owner of the auction said, if the breeder's determined to get the dog and the rescue is equally determined to get the dog, you're going to have the price go up. That's how an auction works. Some of the people in our story talked about how they'd been going as rescuers to these auctions for a long time, and they knew to stop bidding. They felt that they should stop bidding when they were getting up over $100, $200, $300. What they said they're seeing now is newer rescuers coming in who are very, very, they feel very desperate to try to get all the dogs they can. One longtime rescuer told us she had gone to the auction in February to get a dog she thought she could get for about $100. Another rescuer overbid her and paid $1,700. So there's a lot of things going on in that auction, but any time more than one person wants to get any item at an auction, they're going to outbid each other and the price is going to go up, and that seems to be what's happening.
All right. Thank you so much for calling, George. We've got Lynn from Scranton, Pennsylvania. She's a longtime animal rights activist. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. Okay. It's deplorable that animals are sold in the first place. You know, they're living beings. They shouldn't be sold. However, discussions that I've had years ago, we always wished that animals would be very, very, very expensive, because then whoever would be buying them would not treat them as throwaways. So my question is, why is this a bad thing if animals are now starting to cost a great deal of money?
Well, the controversy that our reporting showed lies in the fact of where the money's going. What we have here is rescuers paying money through these auctions that lands in the pockets of the very breeders that activists typically refer to as puppy mills. So the question that we're looking at is not necessarily just about the price per dog, but about where the money is ending up, whose pockets the money is ending up in, which is the commercial breeding industry.
We're speaking with Kim Cavan. She's the author of The Dog Merchants Inside the Big Business of Breeders, Pet Stores, and Rescuers. We're discussing her latest story in the Washington Post called Dog Fight. We'll continue in just a moment. This is Midday on WNYC. I'm back with Kim Cavan. She's discussing her story, her latest story in the Washington Post called Dog Fight. Kim, we're going to go to some more calls, but I did want to ask, have the Humane Society or the ASPCA commented on this?
Actually, we just sent out a news bulletin from the Washington Post. The USDA issued a bulletin late yesterday afternoon suggesting that rescuers doing business the way we reported on at the dog auctions may in fact require regulation. The groups like the Best Friends Animal Society came out and said things like, this is not rescue, this is supporting the very breeders we want to shut down. Readers can read a lot of those comments in the story that I think was published about 5 minutes ago on the Washington Post website.
Well, that's exciting. If you would like to join our conversation, the number is 212-433-9692. 212-433-9692. I want to go to Erica in Brooklyn, who's been holding on. Hi, Erica.
Hi. I was wondering how the rescuers make their money back if they're paying such exorbitant prices for the dogs.
Well, what our reporting delved into was the money that the breeders were making who were receiving the income. We did not accuse any rescuers of making profit or anything of that nature. What I would say is to take a look at the fundraising that's going on. You know, as I mentioned, we talked about just two fundraising accounts that for a single auction alone raised just shy of $350,000. So there doesn't seem to be a shortage of donation money coming into groups, some of the groups doing these kinds of business.
Yeah, I want to follow up on that a little bit. You touched on it briefly at the top of the show, but I want to bring this back in. The way social media has changed and helped create this problem, it was, I guess it's an unintended consequence, or perhaps it is intended.
Again, it's controversial.
Yeah.
The whole thing is controversial. What I can say I found interesting and some people have pointed out to me is just when they're trying to share our article to say, hey, friends, here's something interesting in the Washington Post, Facebook is adding a button at the top of it that says, click here to add a donate button, a donate link if you want people to donate to the cause. So even just trying to share this article and the information, what's happening to people on social media is that Facebook is trying to get them to raise more donation money, which I find fascinating.
Wow. And part of the story, at least part what I took away from the story, is that people are making these donations and they think they're going toward one sort of morality and they might not be happy to find out how the money's actually being used.
Well, what our reporting showed is a mix. Again, some rescuers will tell you they're incredibly transparent, that everybody who's giving the money knows where it's going. Others will say, well, we're completely transparent, but they're doing so in the language of rescue, and they're saying to their donors, please donate to help with the rescue mission. And in those cases, what our reporting showed is it's questionable whether the donors actually understand.
Gotcha. I'm going to go to caller number 10. Her name's Carrie. Hi, Carrie. You had a question.
Hi, and I'd like to thank your guests for covering this important and often very sad, mostly sad subject. I have two questions. You're using the term dogs, and I was wondering if you knew how often these were actually puppies, since unfortunately puppies are so much more attractive to people, sadly.
Yeah, what our reporting showed is it is dogs and puppies alike that these types of rescuers are buying at the auctions. In fact, the owner of the smaller of the two federally regulated auctions told us that when it comes to crossbreed puppies, like the designer breeds like Puggles or Morkies or things of that nature, he actually holds them until the very, very end of his auctions when all the breeders are gone. What he told us is that it's the rescuers who are trying to outbid each other to get those puppies because adopters clamor for them.
Yes.
What his words were that the rescuers were trying to get hold of them because they could be used as a cash cow.
Wow.
Yeah, which is also, I'm assuming, you know, that attracts people to come who will not necessarily choose those puppies in the end. So not quite as much of a cash cow as you'd think. But my second question is, you know, I used to watch Animal Planet, and programs about these rescues from auctions often focused on dogs that were, as they euphemistically put it, in tough shape from puppy mills and, you know, very, very like horrible dental problems, broken legs, et cetera, you know, from being in cages all their lives. And I was wondering how much of, if there's been a decrease in that, for instance.
Well, what our reporting showed was rescuers describing a mix. There, we had rescuers talking to us about how they they intentionally go to the auctions to look for the ones that nobody else wants, the ones who have a hurt eye or there's something else wrong with the dog or the puppy that no one else wants it, and they can pick the dog up fairly inexpensively. What our reporting showed was that in other cases, you know, they're buying a pregnant dog and adopting the puppies out, and the puppies are just fine. So there's a mix, again, going on.
Thanks so much for your question. I have to ask you, who's in the background, Kim?
Those are my rescued mutts. Sorry, the UPS guy just drove past.
No, it's perfect. What are their names?
Their names are Blue and Ginger.
Okay, we're happy to have Blue and Ginger be part of the conversation. Do rescuers dispute that they are driving up the prices?
In the comments that we've seen, I think some of them would say yes, but according to the auction owners, the answer is no. And according to the breeders we interviewed, the answer is no. In fact, a number of the breeders that we interviewed and some of the rescuers that we interviewed said that not only are the prices going up because of rescue, but breeders are now intentionally breeding more puppies to bring to these auctions. Again, I would point to the story we tell about the breeder who got $10,000 per dog at one of these auctions. You know, if you're one of his friends who's a breeder and you hear that story and you know which group it is and which breed of dog they're willing to pay that kind of money for, it's a pretty easy mental leap to figure out what the breeders are going to be thinking.
You know, these days people want to adopt dogs at shelters, but they also want specific breeds. Has that added to this?
I think that our reporting shows yes. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked to one rescue we talked to that's quoted in the story is focused on golden retrievers, very popular breed in America for years and years and years. What he told us was that in the past 5 or 6 years, they have seen a 40% decrease in the number of golden retrievers that are coming into rescue and shelters. And at the same time, you still have all the people who want to adopt them. So they've got these giant stacks of applications from adopters who want golden retrievers, but the number of available goldens is going down. That was one of the reasons he started going to the auctions, was what he told us, that he was looking to figure out where to get more supply.
We're speaking with Kim Cavan, the author of The Dog Merchants, Inside the Big Business of Breeders, Pet Stores, and Rescuers. Her latest story for The Washington Post is called Dog Fight. Let's go to Michael in New York City. Hi, Michael.
Hi. Why are puppy mills bad? We're just assuming that commercial breeders are bad. If your interview could explain that a little bit. I never know why everyone says they're bad.
This goes back to our definition of terms, right, Kim?
This gets right to the heart of the controversy. The rescuers we talked to are saying they have to buy these dogs at auction. It's the only way they can get them out of what they consider to be puppy mills. Now, the breeders that we spoke to, and if your listeners want to go to the Washington Post website, there's a video there. We went out to a commercial breeding facility of a breeder who has sold some pups at auction. And what they're going to see there is things that maybe don't necessarily look like what they think of when they hear the term puppy mill. They're going to see a regulated commercial breeding facility that looks a lot different than what you see in the activist pamphlets. So again, what our reporting showed is that there is a range, and that we tried really hard with our language not to adopt terms like retail rescue and puppy mill. You know, if people said them and we quoted them, that was fine. But we tried to use the words breeders and rescuers because we think there's a range of activity going on within both of those segments.
Thanks for the question. Let's go to Carol, says she's been in shelter work a long time. Hi, Carol.
Hi there. Quick question. Having been in shelter work in the New York area for a while, there have long been rumors about some of the big animal shelters, kind of name brand animal shelters, that people have long suspected get supply from puppy mills. And this is the first I've ever heard of auctions. And I'm just wondering if your article names names at all.
We do name some. What our reporting showed was this activity, we could tie it to 86 nonprofit and self-described rescue groups, dog advocacy groups, and shelters all across the United States and into Canada. I think we name about 12 to 15 of them in the article.
Question for you, Kim. In terms of the way that the dogs that are rescued or who are obtained at this auction and then brought to these rescuer shelters, how are they presented? to people who might be going to shelters and thinking, oh, they got this dog off the street? How are they presented? Are they transparent about where the dogs are coming from?
What our reporting showed is sometimes.
Yeah.
Yes, again, what our reporting found was a range. And some rescuers will take pictures right outside the auction building when the dogs still have their lot number. You know, this is dog number 235, this is dog number 236, right around their neck. And you can find pictures on the internet of rescuers who have just bought the dogs right outside the auction building, putting them on Facebook and starting to market them to consumers that way. In other cases, as our reporting showed, you're going to find them in brick-and-mortar adoption events, websites where adoptable dogs are placed all the time, places like that. And at that point, it's up to the rescuer whether or not to disclose the origin of the dog.
So regardless, if you take however you feel about it or the morality out of it, at least the people who are saying they are from auctions are being transparent.
Our reporting showed that sometimes that is true.
Are there certain breeds that are more popular and that shelters are buying?
Well, we have a graphic that we put on the Washington Post website where we listed some of the highest prices we found for some of the most popular breeds.
King Charles Spaniel, right? That was one.
Yeah, I can run through a half dozen if you'd want.
Yeah, please.
Breeds people would know. What our documents showed was Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, $10,000 paid to a breeder from a rescuer. French Bulldog that was pregnant went for $8,750. Yorkshire Terrier, $4,300. Standard Poodle, $3,500. English Bulldog, $3,400. Golden Retriever, $2,550. And then for $2,500, we have invoices showing rescuers bought Labrador Retrievers and Boxers, among others.
So if I walk into a shelter and I see one of these dogs, should I be wary? Should I ask questions?
I think that what we were trying to do with our story is help arm consumers with information.
Right.
Let them know that this is something that exists. Hey, America, we have dog auctions. And P.S., rescuers and shelters are sometimes doing business inside of them, too. So armed with that information, what we're hoping is that consumers can simply understand what's going on and ask their own questions and make up their own minds about where they're handing their money over and whether they want to support whatever they're seeing.
We have a few more minutes with Kim Cavan, the author of The Dog Merchants Inside the Big Business of Breeders, Pet Stores, and Rescuers. If you want to try to get a call in, the number is 212-433-9692. You mentioned this briefly, but the big auction house that you focus on in the piece out of Missouri, correct? Is it all over the country? Are these auctions everywhere?
No, the only two remaining USDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture regulated dog auctions, they are both in the state of Missouri. What our story talks about is the dogs coming out of those auctions and how they end up all across the country offered for adoption.
I think at the heart of this, folks who go to shelters or rescuers is because they want to help animals. So in the big picture, has the number of stray dogs in the U.S. gone down?
The number of dogs being killed in shelters has gone down. We talk about this a bit in the story, that the most recent estimates that came out a little over a year ago now put the number of dogs, not all animals, but just dogs that are being killed in our shelters, it's down below about 800,000 now, according to the most recent estimates. If you look back to the 1970s, you'll find numbers of animals killed in shelters as high as 20 million. So the fact that we're now somewhere around 800,000 or fewer dogs a year dying in shelters is a huge accomplishment of the animal welfare movement.
Last two questions are actually questions about the book you wrote. It's a very interesting book and some great information in there. You talk about the Westminster Kennel Club dog show a little bit. What about the culture there that you found interesting?
Well, the book you're talking about is The Dog Merchants,
yeah,
which came out in 2016, and that actually led to the story in the Washington Post. What happened was a reader from inside the industry read the chapter I wrote about the auctions in that book and started sending me all the inside documents, the copies of invoices and things.
Wow.
So without that book, this story wouldn't exist. The thing I would say about show dog breeders as relates to the story we're talking about today, one of the people we interviewed for the story talked about, you know, other breeders know that this is going on at the auctions, and sometimes the breeders involved with shows, they get involved with trying to get the dogs out of the auctions. So all of it seems to be very tied together on some level.
It really
does. How deep those ties go, you know, that's for some more digging to figure out, I think.
And this is the most basic question I have for anyone who's listening and wants to adopt a dog. What advice would you give them about where to go and what resources to use?
I would advise people. It's not really my job to give advice.
But you're an expert in this subject. If a friend came to you.
If I was going to get another dog, you know, my Blue and Ginger will never die. They're going to live forever, and I will never have to be sad again. But if I were going to get another dog, I would ask questions about where the dog came from. I would ask to see paperwork, a trail of paperwork. Where did the dog come from? You know, now that we have armed people with this information about this practice that goes on, they hopefully can feel smart enough to ask some questions and know what they're looking for.
It's a really interesting read. I encourage you to check it out. It's called Dogfight in the Washington Post. Thanks, Kim. We really appreciate your help today.
Thanks for having me on.
I was speaking with Kim Cavan, the author of The Dog Merchants Inside the Big Business of Breeders, Pet Stores, and Rescuers.